Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. We are located at edgegotin.com. Our mission is to maximize human potential in Christ. Thank you for joining us today. We have a very fun topic, and perhaps you can relate to this topic. The title is How to Drop Your Jealousy Spear. Any jealousy spears you're gripping onto today? We're going to be exploring some scriptures from 1 Samuel, from the Psalms, and from Ephesians. So strap it on, because this is a topic that we can all relate to. And perhaps you'll have an Earth School class today that will give you the opportunity to apply your learnings. I encourage you to visit us at edgegotin.com. There is, under resources, a one page to help you capture the learnings and apply the learnings in your life. So it's not just another fun message that gets put in the cachet, and yet there's no behavior that makes the difference in the world for Christ behind it. Jealousy. Wow. Have you ever experienced that? It's a crazy little spider monkey, and it will take over you, your mind, what you think, what you can't think of when you're in that jealous space, or your lack of ability to respond with clarity. Jealousy and envy both flow from an ungrateful heart. And it also flows from lack of confidence in the uniqueness that you have been woven together in your mother's womb to declare the glory of God with your unique gifts and talents, with your unique strengths, and your ability to put God first, give him the first fruits of your day-to-day life. So you come to this call. I encourage you to look back over the past week and simply tune into a time when jealousy went from dormant to live. And it is a slippery little serpent that will go from dormant to live in 125 thousandths of a second. And I refer to it as a mini possession, because it takes over your ability to have that clear thinking. It acts as fertilizer to stress in the body. When you are jealous, you increase the stress hormone. It flows from feelings of lack and inadequacy. And when you find yourself imprisoned by this crazy serpent of jealousy, you actually disconnect from creativity and inner inspiration. You're mucking around in what's referred to as the primal brain, the back portion of the brain, or neuroscience, we refer to that as bottom-up thinking versus top-down thinking. And it's like Gollum in the cave. Tolkien's character Gollum in his Lord of the Rings series is this little creature. Gollum means the unman that's lost his identity in the fetish and finds himself alone in the cave. Jealousy will toss you into the cave, clinging to smoke and mirrors, or a false perception, your ring of what you feel that you need to know that you're okay and enough in God's eyes. Does this make sense as to why this is Satan's playground? This happened to me in the last 48 hours. So jealousy is an excellent opportunity for learning and growth through the Holy Spirit's power. So, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, deliver us. Help us from the serpent of jealousy. And it prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour us, causing us to forget our worth and value. Jealousy is that feeling that shows up with envy. And we get envious of other people's achievements and advantages that we perceive they have in life. It also, Lord, gives us this feeling of suspicion. We actually have this idea that other people are questionable or dishonest, and that leads to gossip, which is that sign of edging you out of our lives, because we're afraid that somebody has something that we need in order to be okay. So help us, Lord. Jealousy often slithers into our interior castle, holding hands with envy, which is that feeling of discontent and resentment, longing to be aroused in that place of comparison. And we get aroused emotionally because we're comparing ourselves, thinking we need somebody else's possessions in order to be okay. And we have that desire to have a quality or possession that somebody else has, to know that we have value. Enough, Lord. We need your grace. Crash this place of isolation, unhappiness, fear, doubt, And it literally is a handicap. And it prevents us from showing up with the best version of who you've created us to be and to be your ambassador. It's a very self-absorbed place, and we need your grace and your strength to help us drop our spear of jealousy. Help us, dear God. In your most precious name, we pray. Amen. So we mentioned in the prayer that jealousy is a feeling or showing up with envy over someone else's achievements. You have something that I need in order to know that I'm okay, that I have worth and value. You can stop this craze. The learning objectives for today are twofold. One, when you leave this podcast, you will have a deeper understanding of the negative impact of jealousy and suspicions in your life and how that manifests in behavior that rob you from the joy and the fullness of life in John 10:10 that Jesus desires to give us and died to give us. The second learning objective is you will learn how to erase and replace the negative thoughts that fuel that sense of insecurity, that desire for getting back at someone for getting something that you want. And I'm joined today by my incredible colleague and dear friend and sister in Christ, Jen Klopek. She's been on some other podcasts as well. And she's got some incredible insight into this as well, because she has passed several of the jealousy tests in her own life and continues to have them, as have I. And so, Jen, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, I'm just so excited, Lauren, what God has placed on our hearts and just what God's placing on the listeners' hearts as well today as we explore this concept of jealousy. And like you said, we've all experienced it. We all have. And just stopping and reflecting on those moments so we can rewrite the script. You said replace and erase. And God's word is great at being that tool for replacing, erasing, and replacing with his truth and what he tells us about jealousy, and that it doesn't have space in who God created us to be. It's not of God and from God. So I'm looking forward to exploring this topic with you today.
Yeah, I am too. I am too, because I need it.
Oh, me too. I know we've had numerous conversations, friends, and so whatever we discuss on these podcasts, we walk through ourselves.
Yep, that's exactly it. Not tossing anything out there that the Lord's not training my heart in as well. So the scriptures we're pulling from today, as I mentioned earlier, is 1 Samuel chapter 19, 1 Samuel chapter 18, and 1 Samuel chapter 20. So 18, 19, and 20 of 1 Samuel, definitely worth your attention. An exploration before you read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? What is it for me that you want me to grab and go into my life to be able to shift the lights off behavior and to walk in the light as you are in the light, Lord? And he'll give you that insight. So today are a few scriptures that Jen will be pulling some from Psalm 119. As well as Ephesians chapter 6. We'll have these listed as well on the edgegodin.com site underneath this specific podcast, How to Drop Your Jealousy Spear. I'm just going to make a quick connection or a thread of familiarity between 1 Samuel 18, 19, and 20. 1 Samuel 18, 11, 1 Samuel 19, 10, and 1 Samuel 20, 33 all have one thing in common. Can you guess what that is? It's a spear. And it's a spear, a physical spear that's actually thrown by Saul at David. And the emotion behind it is jealousy and suspicion. Again, the definition of jealousy is feeling or showing envy of something, of someone, or their achievements or advantages, feeling or showing suspicion. So suspicion is a part of jealousy of someone's unfaithfulness in a relationship. We see a lot of that going on today. Jealousy. Suspicion is having or showing cautious distrust of someone or something and an idea that someone is questionable. So Saul, after, just to give you kind of a summation of 1 Samuel in the beginning, we have Eli and Samuel. That was the conversation where Samuel hears the voice of God, and Eli guides him back to God, which is our greatest place as a teacher and a leader, is to guide someone else back to their connection with God. Eli did that for Samuel. He was hearing the voice of God. Eli said, hey, go back and say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I encourage listeners today, use that prayer and be still. It unlocks that conversation with the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. What would you have me do? What would you have me say? Then we move into David. He's a shepherd boy. He's praising God as being a shepherd and just out there singing praises to God. He wrote the book of Psalms. There's lots of cymbals and dancing, and David was known to give glory to God, and he was a man after God's own heart. Did he sin? Heck yes. We're not going to get into that in this particular study, which is a great, so that's like one of those statements kind of like from Dumb and Dumber in the scene where she says, you know, I'd never date you in one in a million chances. And the guy in Dumb and Dumber says, so you're saying I have a chance. So this is saying that we have a chance when you look at the life of David. He's a man after God's own heart because he continually comes back even after the sin. So in 1 Samuel, David, I'm confusing it with the previous study. We're seeing David, King David, he becomes bigger than Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, David, right before this, a couple chapters, beats Goliath. As he's running toward Goliath, he runs toward the battlefield line as he's declaring, I come in the name of the Lord. So what is your battle with jealousy today? What is the battle that you're having with someone in your life that you want something they have, or you're afraid that they might take that which you do have? Jealousy has many different faces. Where is it showing up in your life? In the beginning of the podcast, I ask you to just tune into a moment of jealousy that you had over the last week. Just one. And how did you handle that situation? And in light of what David did, that's your Goliath. That's your Goliath. So here stands Goliath, the Goliath of jealousy. David ran toward Goliath, coming in the name of the Lord. He also had the favor of the Lord, and he triumphed over the Philistines. He cut the head off Goliath, came back, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, look at what David did. And in verse 7, 18:7, the women were playing and dancing and saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. What? What? What's up with that? So, Jen, how many times in our lives are we cooking along in the coaching field? We're doing the best that we can, right? We come across someone that's like, how many clients do you have? How many clients are you meeting with? You know, and it's this comparison thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That we see, and we turn into Saul. Saul became very angry.
He did. And it's interesting because we may not hurl a physical spear, but what do we hurl? What are the words that we use, or how do we respond, or most often react in the situation? We don't respond. We think, bottom up thinking instead of top down thinking. And so many times it is a comparison type of party. When you're jealous over what someone else has, and you're operating from the lack of not thinking you have. And when I think of the word jealousy, you brought up some great words that are associated with that. And I want the listeners to think about these words as I'm thinking about them for myself too. It's envy, being envious. Saul was envious of David because he was even comparing numbers. Like, hey, there's thousands compared to your 10,000s. And then there was suspicion over what are the people thinking about me? And so again, it's perception, and it may not even be accurate perception, but we start operating out of the perceptions of others. What do they think about me? So now I'm going to pick up my spear and hurl some gossip about somebody else, some insults about somebody else. Let me defame someone else so I can, make myself bigger and better in the sight of people. You mentioned suspicion, hey, I'm real suspicious now. Distrust. And finally, another word that comes to me when I think about jealousy is really selfishness. Mm. And when Amen we're operating that. Out of jealousy, we are just so focused on ourselves that we just can't even get outside of ourselves. So Yeah. I mean, that's just the first thoughts as we're going through this, the words, you know, that God's pressing on my heart, and taking a look internally at me, you know, just what am I selfish? Mm. What do I want? It gets back to the scarcity and the abundance mindset. And you've said it, Lauren, before in another podcast, that your prayer is, you know, God, don't expand my territory until you give me the character that I need for that territory, and bless other people more than myself, expand their territory. And, you know, if Saul was praying that prayer, he would be happy for David.
Absolutely. And that's where our freedom lies, right? Dear God, grant me the grace to rejoice in another person's success over my own. If we can embrace that, people, we will be free. Because I'm not there yet.
No,
God is working on my heart with that. There's no doubt. And I have to work through it. I do my own stress management on myself. Like if there's something that I wanted and somebody else got it or things like that, I'll feel it. It's like a spear in my own heart. And the spear is associated with jealousy. It's either in your own heart, because you pierce your own heart with jealousy first and foremost. Then you throw it at someone else's. And I can't remember the quote that Judy put up. Do you remember the quote about gossip?
Yeah.
What is that quote?
I think it is. It was from, I want to say, David Jeremiah. It was a quote about, when you are jealous, you are not loving. I mean, your truth is, it's not
or
the
gossiping.
Truth and gossiping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all relates about jealousy, truth, and gossip. And I think that was Dr. David Jeremiah.
David Jeremiah that said that. And that's so powerful, because when we're gossiping, which often happens when we feel less than, because that's the fuel of jealousy. I feel less than. Because if I didn't feel less than, there's no need for comparison or envy. I can rejoice with you as if it happened to me. It's when I question my worth and value, and this is Satan's playground, because he wants you to forget your worth and value and unique beauty in Christ, that I will gossip. And that has different phases. That's another podcast. Gossip, though, is fueled by that jealousy and that envy oftentimes. And it is a sign, and is led and fueled by the ego. The ego is always involved with gossip. And so jealousy, same thing. The ego gets embarrassed. The ego compares. The ego is discontent. It's resentful. The ego has to possess what other people have in order to feel that it's enough. And so that was kind of the fuel behind the ministry of Edge Got In, EGI versus Edge Got Out. And so just kind of getting back and pulling the scriptures together, in 1 Samuel 18, we see jealousy manifested in behavior. And you have your little clip from your timeline that I ask you to tune into. In the last week, when were you holding the jealousy spear? Keep that in mind. What did you look like, feel like, sound like? Where were you? What fueled it? So this was what fueled Saul. So Saul, after he saw the ladies dancing and was like, what? You have more people than me. You slain more people than I did. And so Saul, it says in 18 verse 11, hurled the spear. He thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. So he threw that spear twice at David. Now flip forward again. Then he calms down. Okay. So Saul, from that moment, he calms down. He actually becomes afraid of David and yet considered him his enemy. Now we flip forward to 19:10, just one chapter later. Saul tried again to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he escaped from Saul's presence, so that Saul only stuck the spear into the wall. Then David fled and escaped that night. Then we flip to the next chapter, chapter 20. Then Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan. So Jonathan was standing in the gap. Jonathan and David had a very close relationship. Jonathan is, I believe, Saul's son. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan and David were very close. And he was trying to stand in the gap to protect David. What is Saul's response again? Jealousy, suspicion, Again, the definition of suspicion is an idea that someone is questionable or dishonest. So the spear comes out and he throws it at Jonathan. So here we have three different chapters. The spear is taken out and thrown three different times. So as Jen put up for just your exploration, is where am I throwing spears? And this is the first objective of this particular podcast, is understand the negative impact of your own jealousies and suspicious behavior in your life. What happens to you when you become jealous? What does that look like, feel like, and sound like? First, as Jesus said, drag it out into the light so it loses its grip. You've got to recognize the spirit of jealousy. When it happens in your life, who's involved, and what triggers you for you to start driving that bus versus being driven by the bus of jealousy. So Jen, then we jump to, we see it, we ask ourselves the question, ooh, where am I holding the spear of jealousy in my life? Holy Spirit, I give you permission to convict me and bump me when I am gripping a hold of that spear. I want to pin someone to the wall. And you guys, that's how fast it happens. A negative emotion happens in 125 thousandths of a second. As soon as your brain, it's called the HPA axis, as soon as your brain sees something as a threat, in 125 thousandths of a second, the frontal cortex restricts, shoots the blood to the back part of your brain. So the blood hits your limbs so that you can fight, flight, or freeze. So that's how fast it happens. So our greatest place of empowerment is high noticing when you're outside of the ring from facing your opponent of jealousy. So what do we learn in Psalm?
And so it's interesting. Wow, so much, Lauren. I mean, we can go everywhere. But basically, the Psalm, you know, I've been studying Psalms these last couple of weeks, and Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible of, God's word, is Psalm 119 just teaches us the importance. And this is where David lived. I mean, he was being, you know, spears were being hurled at him in the midst of jealousy, and David showed up and responded and not his own strength. I mean, God saved him. He could have been, you know, attacked by that spear and actually dead, but it wasn't God's time. And God had great plans for David and for all of us. And so the power of God's word is just amazing. And in Psalm 119, really just to set this up, the Psalm helps enables God's people. And when I say God's people, that's us. That's us believers. We were created in his image to admire his word. His word's the Bible. And I really am going to make another connection later on. His word in Ephesians is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 is God's word. So when David was coming up against Saul, Saul was fighting with a spear. David had the spirit of God's word, the sword of the Spirit. And that's what 119 teaches us, that we believers need to have God's word kind of hidden. And that's one of the verses in Psalm 119. We need to hide God's word in our heart so we don't sin against thee. And so David had many opportunities probably to show up in a different way, but he didn't. And so we need to admire his word so strongly that we will work and pray hard to have it shape our character and conduct. And at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. And Saul had that opportunity too, to allow God's word to shape his character and conduct. However, he had jealousy and suspicion and envy. And so when you said erase and replace, the replacement really is God's word, God's precepts, God's testimonies, God's everything that he gives us, his word. Our character should reflect God's character. And the Bible, the word, is a mirror that reflects what we should look like. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 119 is a beautiful chapter of sharing what we can do to reflect the image of God. And I just want to read the first four verses in 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. And my prayer is with this, dear God, you know, for me, for you, Lauren, for the listeners, I give you complete permission and authority to shape my character and conduct through your word. Mm-hmm. And that's the spirit, you know, in Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit is God's word. That's what we have. in order to put on that armor every day that will erase and replace those spirits or demons of jealousy and strife and envy and selfishness.
That's so powerful. And that's where we have one of my favorite songs in college. I had her tape. I'm aging myself, but I listened to the tape over and over again of Amy Grant. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Well, I will speak of your statues before kings and they will be put to shame. Well, this is interesting and it's important to remember again, David wrote the book, majority of the book of Psalms, and he's declaring in Psalm 119, 46, I will speak of your statues before kings. Well, that king was Saul. He couldn't handle it because he felt less than. He didn't have his identity anchored in Christ, in God at that point. He didn't turn himself over to God's ways, whereas David did. They both sinned. David sinned. Saul sinned. Mm-hmm. The difference was, again, it's the difference between Peter and Judas. Peter believed in the grace and mercy of God, of Christ, and he was saved. Judas did not. His sin consumed him to the point of taking his life. Mm-hmm. Saul did not link to the identity in God. Therefore, he was consumed by jealousy, and it ended up causing him to go and follow false gods. David continually came back. I have sinned. The Psalms are filled with back and forth. Save me from the pit. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. Thanks be to God. You have restored my life. You have saved me from the consequences of my sin. So we see that victory that's declared by David in the book of Psalms, which is so powerful. So 119, Psalm 119 really gives you insight into that character, as you said, Jen. May our character be shaped by the word of God. Just as Jesus came against the devil, and there's a podcast I encourage listeners to check out, How to Rebuke the Devil at edgegotin.com. How to Rebuke the Devil. Know how to do that. And follow Jesus' lead on that. And David did that. He rebuked the devil. And he also knew where his help came from as well. In Psalm 121, we read, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's an awesome song that goes along with that. He'll not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. Mm. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm and watch over your life. I have this entire psalm highlighted because it was one of the psalms, Psalm 91 and Psalm 121, that I would flip back and forth and read every day when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. And I had to remind my mind, of truth in the scriptures. That was my sword of the spirit to be able to slay the serpents of fear and worry and doubt. So today where our focus is on jealousy. What do we have in Ephesians, Jen, that helps us bring this all the way through?
Absolutely. And it's just such an uplifting podcast, I got to say, because sometimes we get stuck in the problem, you know, of, hey, I am jealous, but we don't know the solution. And just by reminding your mind, I love when you said that with God's word, the sword of the spirit, which is the word, just the renewing of your mind and what you need to do. And these are techniques that we can do on a daily basis is reading God's word. But I think too, you know, Ephesians 6 just reminds us every day to put on the armor of God. And I will tell you, Lauren, I don't practice it every morning, but I would encourage the listeners and encourage us to physically remind ourselves every morning to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet fitted with readiness and peace. Because in the Bible, it says in verse 12 and 6:12, and this directly relates to Saul and to David, for this is David. He wasn't really fighting against Saul. He was fighting against and wrestling against flesh and blood. He wasn't wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, we listeners need to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to wrestle with in the evil day, and having done all that, to stand firm. So we really need to be aware. I think we've talked about this and we started this podcast of really naming and having awareness over where's jealousy showing up in our life. That's the first step, you know, is acknowledging that and then really observing, when does this come into play? Is it about, and you and I discussed this, Lauren, a specific situation that we're jealous about? Is it a person? Is it a time of day that we get more jealous? Is it morning time or nighttime? But really becoming aware of when this little demon slithering in, and then what's the change behavior going to be? You know, what are we going to do instead of being enslaved to, you know, a spirit of jealousy? And so what could we start doing differently in our life? And I know that when I apply these truths to my life personally, I experience so much peace. When I'm walking in this way, walking in God's precepts and going back to Psalm 119, hiding God's word in our hearts so we don't sin against thee, making his word as a light into our heart and a lamp into our path. And back to Psalm 119, if we listen to God's word, we won't swerve, you know, and so many times when jealousy comes in, we jump out of character. And even if we are Christians, I mean, we're walking this path, Lauren, and doing life, but there are often times, I'm sure I'm speaking for myself, I jump out of character of what, how God's designed me to be. And usually what comes with that too is after I act in my flesh, I end up regretting, you know, my actions afterwards. So really trying to make a conscious decision and a choice daily before the thing pops up. How am I going to react and respond? And so even to prepare ourselves mentally. With God's word. So when jealousy begins to creep in, we can identify it, name it, kind of rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You know, his blood was pouring out for us and telling that thing to get behind us.
Oh, absolutely. It is a constant earth school class. And so as you meditate upon, just as Jen, you were kind of guiding listeners to do, is tune into that one time in the last week where that you had an encounter with jealousy. When did it happen? What did you look like? It's a neurolinguistic programming technique combined with timeline therapy where you jump back into your timeline, you quarantine it. It's so important because jealousy will literally take over your entire interior thought life if you do not quarantine it. So as quickly as possible, when you feel it, and this is part of the erasing part of the jealousy, is put it in a container. One, look back when it happened. Get very specific. So it doesn't ruin your entire perspective and become a filter that distorts reality. So you want to put it in a container, meaning it happened because someone said this phrase. Then jealousy came in. So get as specific as possible. And then the second step is once you've been very specific and you see where it's happened, then it's you shift your thoughts to replacing it. First, you write it down. The actual technique of erase and replace, I'm taking it from my book entitled 5 Minutes to Stress Relief. I also reference it in my book, 99 Things You Want to Know Before Stressing Out.
Great book.
God's glory on both of them. Amen. And so the erase and replace technique is a neurolinguistic programming technique where you tune into the negative emotion. You get very specific. And this is how God wired our brains. You put it in a container. Once you put it in the container of this is when it happened, this is where I was, this is what it said, and this is when jealousy creeped in. You write that down. You come up with a phrase as if it's a movie clip from your past. It's now looking back. You want to shift your loop of attention. They call it a cybernetic loop from now to the future, moving forward. The Holy Spirit helps us do this to release the past. Like Paul said, this is scriptural. I leave what is behind and press on to what is ahead. So this is a way to help yourself, your body, your mind, leave what is behind and to press on to what is ahead, to grab a hold of God's word for you, to know that you are enough, that there's no need to be jealous. God loves and adores you. You have everything you need. He has plans to prosper you. And as I think it's Joyce Meyer, it says, don't try to be someone else. They're already taken. Be you. You moving forward. And so once you look to the past, you find your situation, you write it down on a piece of paper because that's another container. You can take a piece of paper, fold it in half. On one side, you write erase. On the left side, you write erase. On the right side at the top, you write replace. and you write this specific situation as a movie clip, what would you title it? Drop My Jealousy Spear? Maybe that's what you'd drop it. Maybe that's what you would entitle that little movie clip. As soon as you create a title, that creates another container for it. So that loosens its grip as being a filter on how you see yourself and others. Then you move to the replacing. And this is the word of God. This is the word of God. Galatians, I think it's 1:10. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? I think that's Galatians 1:10. Don't quote me on that one, but it's a good one. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Jealousy is not in the economy of God's economy. Oh. So you have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. That's a spirit you can claim. That's scriptural as well. God didn't give me a spirit of jealousy, fear, doubt. He gave me a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Mm. The self-discipline is the part of erasing and taking back the identity that you allowed to spill out of yourself because of that movie clip that you entitled. So your jealousy, drop the jealousy spear movie clip, now goes to a scripture. So you erase it, and then you replace it with the word of God. No, even just saying, no, I refuse to go there, Satan. I pray that you would bless that person and grant me the ability to rejoice in the blessings that you give that person. And you turn your jealousy into a prayer. That's the replacement behavior. Turn it into a prayer and quoting scripture. And that's why it's important to memorize those scriptures. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, doubt, worry, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God told me to leave what is behind, to press on to what is ahead. So, dear God, I will do that. And you know what? In this moment, when I'm jealous and when you're jealous and when any of us are jealous, we're flipping the verse that says you are therefore Christ's ambassador and he's making his appeal through you too. I'm my own ambassador here. And you know what? I'm jealous of what you have because I think I need what you have in order to know that I'm okay. So I become my own ambassador versus Christ's ambassador. So again, you're taking that back. You're in the erase part of this technique or the replace part of this technique. You're erasing the movie clip from your past, I'm dropping my jealousy spear, to a scripture of I'm pressing on to take a hold of all that Christ has taken hold of me for so that I can run the race and win the prize. And also, you know what? I forgot. I thought I was my ambassador there, God, so I had to become jealous and envious. And no, I refuse to go there. And rebuke with your mouth. Write it down. What is your rebuke to that jealousy? No, I am not going to stand in that space and have that mini possession dilute and rob and hijack my character, as you said. So this is some powerful food for thought as well as prayer. So get your technique. When I was training for my second degree black belt, my master trainer from Korea, he would say your greatest place of empowerment in the ring is what you study and practice outside the ring. So this is your study outside the ring. Don't wait till jealousy goes from dormant to live again and you have a little mini possession. Learn those scriptures, memorize those scriptures. So when that serpent of jealousy, you're facing them straight up in the ring, you're able to have those scriptures. No, I'm not going here. And you turn and you walk away and you write down your desired scriptures. Anytime we can physically write or declare, we put it in a container and therefore we quarantine it. We want to quarantine the virus of jealousy as quickly as possible. Does that make sense, Jen?
Oh my gosh. Complete sense. And I love what you were talking about, you know, that preparation before. I think that is so key. And, you know, if Saul would have, you know, had this podcast back then, maybe he would have responded differently in the way he showed up. And just for listeners, I mean, you brought it up a couple times, Lauren, and I want listeners to know where it came from. The 2 Timothy, you know, 1:7 verse.
1:7.
For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And that we've got that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So we have our own power and love and self-control. And those three words in the midst of jealousy, when we're putting that thing into the container, rewriting it either with this, you know, scripture verse, or even putting on the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6, that we are ready, that we're speaking God's truth of the belt of the truth. But that containering thing, oh my goodness, that's a game changer, I can see, because you're stopping to really, you know, name whatever that thing is. I know life, we are hijacked many times by the pace in which we go about our day, and just doing that stopping and hitting the pause button to really think about what are we farming our identity out to, such as jealousy, and then going through the steps of erasing and replacing can be so powerful. And then the next time we experience that thing, then we'll know what we've done previously. We'll be able to remember, you know, what we did. So that's beautiful. And the other one thing that has just been brought on my heart to talk about jealousy is, oftentimes, you know, if I get jealous over a person or a situation, I'm only looking at their highlight reel of what I perceive to be true. And
that's awesome, Jen. Thanks for bringing that up.
And someone reminded me one time, Jen, if you were jealous and you want, you know, that particular thing that person has, you need to want everything that they have. And we don't know everything that's going on in someone's life sometimes. So even Saul, when he was getting jealous of David, maybe he didn't know the struggles that David was having as well, you know? So if you remember that, listeners, and I'm remembering that for myself, you've got everything you need, God's equipped you with, and, you know, explore what you bring to the table, and remember, you are worthy, you are enough. And you've got your own unique features.
Well, I love that highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't we all show up with our highlight reel?
Oh,
we want people to think like the best of us. Oh my gosh, you're so successful at this. Blah blah blah. You know, and that's again, you know, really ask the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a crazy prayer to pray, but I'm telling you, the Lord loves to refine us so we're free. That's always His goal. He wants to free us so that we can experience John 10:10. The devil comes to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And as you really, I encourage listeners, and I'm doing this myself, I'm writing down these scriptures. Thank you for 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The other one that I was kind of declaring is Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? The other one, Philippians chapter 3, this is a very, very powerful scripture. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss. And this is where we get into, I haven't already reached this, but this is what I do. I press on. I leave what is behind and I press on to what is ahead. So in neuroscience, there's something referred to as a cybernetic loop. Many of us are past, associated, and present and future disassociated. With Christ, He is all about pick up your mat and move forward. And that's referred to as present associated and future associated. And Philippians chapter 3 speaks of this. I haven't already attained all this, but this is what I do. I leave what is behind. Okay, I was jealous yesterday. Thank you, your mercies are new every morning. Today, what is the opposite word or behavior that shows up for you when you think of jealousy? What would be the opposite behavior of jealousy for you? Really identify that. And that's when you begin again. Now moving forward, I choose appreciation. And I choose to make generous assumptions. Just as you said, that's their highlight reel, right? Mm-hmm. But you stay in a place of loving your neighbor as yourself and protecting them as a result of that. So this has been a very packed, fun-filled topic. We could probably continue on, but we're at the end of our time for our podcast today. Jen, any closing thoughts for listeners?
Oh, I just to remain an objective observer in your own life, just to see when you begin to jump out of character, because God wants us to have joy and peace and love. And I just go back to that 2 Timothy verse, you know, the spirit that we have through Christ isn't of fear or jealousy or envy or selfishness. It's of love, power, and self-discipline. And so how can we grow those three areas in our life on a daily basis? And I thank you so much, Lauren, for this ministry and edging God in. I love just the analogy. And so I think too, when you're jealous and selfish and envy and suspicion, it's edging God out. and it's ego driven and not being selfless. You had asked about another word. What could we do? But we become jealous because we're so fixed on ourselves and selfish that if we get outside Amen. Of ourselves and start serving other people and being grateful for what we already have, that might be a great erase and replace strategy, is replacing it with not thinking about myself, but thinking about others and how can I serve them. And so that's something I'm going to plan on practicing this week and next week moving forward. So thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your incredible input and insights and pulling in Psalms and Ephesians and those scriptures. So thank you for joining us, listeners, today. Again, write down, if you go to edgegodin.com, you'll find that one sheet and the final step in capturing the learning part of these podcasts is the action. What are one to three action steps that you will take forward today as a result of hearing this message? Those are your three gold nuggets. What are they? Write them down and keep them by your bedside. Go over them several times in the next 48 hours. Remember the learning objective, and you can speak to this as well. Do you understand the negative impact of jealous and suspicious behavior in your own life? And two, have you learned the erase and replace behavior? Or the erase and replace tool that you can use moving forward. If that didn't resonate for you, come up with your own tool outside the ring. What will you use to be able to sustain a place of love, selflessness, and compassion towards yourself and those around you moving forward? And step out of the jealousy jungle. That's actually the title of the chapter in 99 Things You Want to Know Before Stressing Out. Is called The Jealousy Jungle. The reason why I wrote that, included that in the book, is because I've totally been mucking around in the jealousy jungle throughout my whole life. And now that I'm 51, I want a lighter version of me. I don't want to keep hanging out in that jungle, Jen.
Exactly. We've got wisdom freedom. We've got wisdom on our side now. And well, God's wisdom. And so what freedom it is when we're not playing in that jealousy jungle.
I want out. So simply because it feels better. So thanks be to God. Sweet Jesus, thank you for this incredible opportunity to learn how to slay the serpent of jealousy, to step out of that jealousy jungle in our lives, and to be able to really just have a sense of our identity in you that doesn't compare, doesn't envy, is not suspicious, but has confidence, love and confidence as our way. That's what we desire, Lord, more love and confidence. We give you permission to show us, teach us how to slay the serpents of jealousy, envy, suspicion, in our lives, to drop the spears that we grip a hold of that create gossip and below the line behavior that cause us to become our own ambassadors and to forget that you died. You gave your life to win our hearts so that you can make your appeal through us. We pray for the grace now moving forward to be present and allow you to make your appeal through us from that place of love, that we would have that heart fashioned after yours as David did. And when we do sin and when we do fall, grant us the grace and the support from the power of your Holy Spirit to return quicker today than yesterday, to begin again quicker today than yesterday, and help us to close the gap between what happens outside of us and our choice of response to it in a way that we hear your voice, have your wisdom, your discernment, guiding our emotional intelligence in life. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to grow in faith through the power of your word. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, friend.
Again, we are actually in the final stages of co-writing a book Woo-hoo. Together that will be released at the end of this summer on identity theft by God's grace and guidance. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Any other closing thoughts on information, Jen, that you'd like to share? I'm appreciative of your presence on the call today.
Thank you, friend. Just all praise, honor, and glory go to God. I mean, that's what we're here for at the end of the day and created to be. And so just looking forward to the release of the book that God really spoke and wrote through us. It was just a beautiful thing. And looking forward to see how it can change people's lives and reconnect them, refresh to the true identity source of where we belong. But no, thank you, Lauren. It's always fun playing with you in the space. And,
yep.
And I pray for you, the Edge Garden ministry to reach many, many lives and change many lives and refresh many people through Christ. Mm.
So if you've been inspired by today's podcast, please share it. The purpose is to maximize human potential in Christ, to give glory to God in all things. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to love and serve you in this life. And enjoy your gift of life. We look forward to the next Edge God In podcast. Visit us at edgegodin.com. Give them heaven, not hell. Give them heaven.